Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Excellent. So we are live. So welcome to this week's A Coffee with Karen, a cup of positivity with just a sprinkling of woo-woo. And we have this week a guest that we had on not so long ago, but she really has an absolute wealth of knowledge. And I thought we'll have her on again. So each week I am interviewing our guests who help people either from a mental, physical, or spiritual perspective, or in most cases a combination of all three. And our guest this week, well, yeah, definitely all three. Some may think it's a little bit more woo-woo than others, but you know what, it is all woo-woo anyway. No. So Anne, share with the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I'm Anne Varney, and I am a spiritual teacher, coach, author, so many other things, you know, firewalk instructor, master's in psychology. I can go on and on and on. However, what I do is I basically help people who are stuck, we'll say. They're stuck in their shit. And they just don't know how to get out. They just keep going, but they just have this repetitive thing that just keeps going on for them. And they just don't know how to get out of that. And my job is to really show them how they are creating everything and what to do about it. And how, when they see themselves doing it again, how they can get themselves out of that very quickly. I also run a membership platform for spiritual certified programs. And I also have a podcast, Spiritual Abundance Creator, and probably other stuff, but I can't remember.
Love that you do so much. But yeah, share a bit of your story, because I know your story. Your story is fascinating. And because you have just gone down that route and just continually learning all these different modalities, you've got quite a unique holistic approach because of all the things you've done. If you want to share with the audience a little bit, how did you get to where you are right now?
So basically I had a six-figure business that I ate, breathed, slept this business. I was a bridal designer, award-winning bridal designer actually, and I used to have a few shops. I also would teach this full time alongside my business, with being a single parent and with two kids. Had quite a lot of staff, so you can imagine the amount of balls that were juggling up. And if I knew all this stuff then, God, how my life would have been so much easier. So basically, what got me into this was I was on burnout. You know, I was overstressed, overworked, and worries. And you can imagine, you know, when you're at that kind of level of a business, you know, everybody wanted to be, but inside I was so empty, very empty.
It's interesting that you have this idea of where you want your business to get to, and then when you get there, you can realize that actually this is unsustainable, because it is too much stress, especially if you've built a business around you. It's just too much responsibilities. Yes, so that makes a lot of sense.
Massively. And it was quite interesting, because I actually won Scottish Design of the Year in the, I think it was April or the May or something like that. I'd won a few awards with it. And by the September, I went and did a charity walk to Machu Picchu. Never done anything like that ever in my life. Couldn't even walk up the street, never mind go and do over mountains and all the rest of it. But I wanted to really really thinking myself. And it was after I came back from Machu Picchu. You could say I had a spiritual awakening at Machu Picchu, really. Mm. No, I mean, the awakening was happening before that, but it really,
accelerated up.
Mm. Yeah. And 6 weeks after me coming back from that, I shut everything down. I went to near bankruptcy. I just stopped it from bankruptcy. But I didn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell my best friends. I didn't even tell my family. You know, I was so ashamed that, and really when you think back and you how the hell did I keep that from everybody? You know, the torture that I went through. And I actually then went to Luke and thought, there's more to this. There's more to life than this, you know. And that's when I went training. I mean, I've spent about 350 grand on my trainings over the world. I mean, you've no idea what I've been with real Rinpoches, real, you know, Native Americans, real shamans in the Amazon jungle and Peru, and Native Americans in the outback of California, and and druids and the hills in Scotland, the mountains and what have you. So I went to the real, hence why I have so much money.
Didn't do an online weekend training course to get a certification at the end of it. You went to the real, you went to the top. You did it the proper way and fully immersed yourself into the whole of the teachings then, right? Yeah,
but I didn't do it for me to go and teach it to other people. I did it to heal myself, because I came from a background of lack. I came from a background of being in children's homes. So I came from a really disadvantaged background, you know. So if anybody says to me back in the day when I was younger that I would have been a bridal designer, because I was a right tomboy as well, you know, when I was younger, because it was just the way I had, that was how I survived in the world, you know. And for it to be a bridal designer and be very good at it as well, you know, and then teach it to over 100 students and what have you. The reason I went to the real Rinpoches and all the rest of it was I knew there was something else out there in life. I just knew there was something more than what I was, what I was experiencing. And just one thing led me to another. However, me actually showing up as a spiritual teacher is a different story, because there was a lot of fear. And usually when people are to live their passion or purpose, they think it's going to be all plain sailing and it's going to be really easy. It's not. So much fear comes up, you know, it really does. Yeah.
Well, we're all human. Mm-hmm. And we have been conditioned from childhood to react to certain stresses or certain things. And so we are just running a program, really. And it's only, well, I suppose it is only us that can sort of unprogram that. But it's funny how, it's almost like we get pushed. Why do we get pushed to almost the brink? Like, you got to burnout. It's almost like, why didn't these things happen a little bit earlier before you get to burnout? But yeah, you're right. That is sometimes when these things happen, you've got to hit that level to look for another way.
Yeah. And I actually broke my foot. I'd actually broke my foot. And that's when I started. And what was actually really interesting is all my staff were very spiritual. And I used to laugh at them. I used to go, "You're off your bloody head. Is that not right?" I really, really did, you know. And they would be, "You're so spiritual, it's unbelievable. You just close yourself off to it." But I remember when I was younger, I used to have these out of body experiences, and I would say, "Christ, I better not tell anybody that. They'll put me in a loony bin." You know, honestly, I would be flying round my room, and I'd be watching myself down, and all these stuff that would be going on, and I just was like, I was terrified of it, you know, because I didn't understand it. But it was my way of coping,
right?
It was me disengaging, being disconnected. So it was my way of coping with what actually was going on in the 3D world. But looking back on that 3D world was where was my growth, you know. That's what gave me empathy, compassion. You know, and so many people stay in that victim and blame And they don't realise their own potential and their own creativity. So they stay in their conflicts. Mm. And they just don't know what to do about it. Sometimes they don't even realise it because it's so unconscious, you know.
Yes.
Those conflicts.
Yeah. That is the key thing there, I think, from what you've just said there about it, you know. This is, none of us do this. Obviously, none of us want to self-sabotage our lives. This is all, it's not, there's no blame thing here. It's not, it's purely on an unconscious level. We're just not aware, because we're not taught it through school, of how we have got caught in these little cycles of programmings. Yeah. But yes, I suppose it must have been so empowering for you when you did finally have that, I suppose, aha moment in whatever program you were doing, to even take ownership and realize that, wow, you can totally change this.
Yeah. And I think when you do take that ownership, you start to find your magic. You really do start to find your magic. But you'll always pop out. You'll always pop out and go into that default of your conflicts. You know, everybody thinks when you get the awareness that your conflicts will stop. Bullshit.
I love your straight talking, Anne. Yes, yeah, 100% agree. Sometimes I think I've totally got this.
Yeah.
And then I find myself, I've got caught up in some story. And I can resort to a bit of a child at times.
Yeah, yeah. Well done.
And then there we go. Got caught in it again. Back to it. So I suppose I know for me, it's just an ongoing journey. But it's totally impact. Rather than be a victim mode, then you're going to wait for somebody to save you. But you realise it, you can do it yourself when you're made aware, it just opens up the whole world, right?
And it's knowing how to really get out those conflicts. You know, it's knowing how to really see when you are. You know, when you're actually in them. And when you're in that conflict yourself, you know, that people sometimes think, so really it's like life is always an ebb. So when you're going in your success and you're really up there with your success and all the rest of it, you'll always guarantee you're going to have that dip. Guaranteed, you're always going to have that dip. So if you've got that dip, what most people do is they'll have a wee tiny bit of success, especially healers, by the way, what I call healer sickness. They'll have this wee bit of success, but they'll dip down and they'll stay in the conflict, the victim, for longer than they really should, because they don't know how to get themselves back up to that success. Because what's happening is they've got programs underlying. It's all unconscious. They don't even know what's happening. They're unaware of it. Even those people that are really unaware are unaware. This is why you need a coach. It's why you need a coach. Because, and I didn't get that until actually I know these practices and I know them well. And I do have a coach. I have a very good coach. And he actually sees my blind spots. And that's what a good coach is all about, seeing your blind spots and seeing actually, well, this is what you're creating here and this is how you can get out of this. And this is blah, 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 and all the rest of it. So,
We can be very good at looking at other people because it's that detachment that we need, I suppose. It's very easy for us to look at others, but 100%. We all need a coach. All of us need a coach because, I can slip into things and sometimes need somebody to have that outside view to go, look, what are you doing? Yeah. Give you a kick up the backside. We all need it.
Totally. And when you get those practices of where your conflicts are, what you're portraying to the world, where you're coming from, when you really do get that awareness of it, what actually starts to happen is you stay longer in your successes and your dips are quite quick and climb back up. You know, when you're in the victim or the blame or stuff's happening that you didn't want it to happen, in the negative as well, that becomes quicker, you know, it's not as big, it's drawn out.
But it's never going to be straight, isn't it? People's idea of success is from here to there. No one did it like that. It's all over. And, you know, it's like your heart. If you're not going up and down, you're flatlining, you're dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not a good goal, is it? It's not a good goal. You want the ups and downs, but you just don't want to stay down too long. Then you appreciate the ups as well. Otherwise, you won't appreciate it.
Yeah, and the thing about that is, really, when you are in that success, when you're at the height of your success, just be aware that you are going to dip. Mm. You know, because so many people, what they do, and I used to do it myself, me included, is when we're riding that wave of success, and then we do dip, and we think, what have we done? What did we do there? And then we start looking for the what, why, where, when, and that keeps us stuck.
Keep the faith is what I'm hearing from you. Is just be when we're aware that these things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Then you just go through it rather than resist it. I suppose that's what I'm sort of hearing from you. Is
totally. Which
is. Yeah, where we, this is how we learn with anything, isn't it, I suppose? Mm-hmm. But if you do have a dip, you know, it is, again, we're human, naturally, the instinct would be doubt, fear, worry will come in. But if we know it's going to come, if we're expecting it almost, we can ride it and not, you know, just go with it. Today's not such a good day, tomorrow will be a better day. Like, but I suppose you're going to be able to give a lot more tools and strategies to help people come out of that dip a lot quicker.
Massively, massively. And it's when, you know, you've got those tools too, because I even do it, you know, even what I know, I even go in there.
Well, I think you're still human, I think.
Yes, exactly. You know, because everybody thinks, because they get such big changes when they're working with me, you know, because I not just work from a psychological level, you know, I work from a spiritual level as well. I look at the mind, body and soul, and a lot of people just look at the mind and the body, so they leave the spirit out, and then they wonder why they keep going to therapy and therapy and therapy and therapy. It is because they're leaving an element out, you know. But as I look at the whole of the person, you know, and see what's actually going on. Because the thing is, you can have everything. You can actually have, you've achieved, like what I did, you achieve everything that you wanted, but you still feel empty.
You still feel,
you don't know why. You know, you don't know why that emptiness is there. And then what it is because you're not living your passion, your purpose. You may think it's your passion and purpose, but it could be coming from your ego.
I can totally relate to that. I thought I come from the fitness world and coming into the self-development arena, which I realize now was actually still ego, because it was all about your thoughts, thinking and planning and prepping, all ego mind. So I thought I wanted to own my own fitness studio. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it's like, well, be careful what you wish for. We did build it up and up, but the whole thing was reliant on us being there, so we had no break. This isn't what I want, because I am going to burn out. So very similar to you, not on your scale, Anne, but we were maxed out. We couldn't get any bigger from where we were, so it was, we knew this wave wasn't going to last. We were going to have a crash because it just wasn't sustainable. Yeah. So, yes, I totally get that now. Yeah, we think that that's the thing that we want. But, again, that is all ego. It is when you finally get it.
Yeah. When I look back at being the bridal designer, I mean, that came from me actually needing to show the world that I was worth it. That's where it came from, you know, and also as well, because coming from that, the children's home and what have you, that kind of background, you're always trying to prove. You know, you're always workaholic, absolute workaholic. Yeah. Always trying to prove things.
I can relate to that. I didn't realise you were brought up in a children's home. I was. Yeah. I was adopted as a baby. So yeah. I was very fortunate. At 6 weeks old, uh-huh. I was in with a family. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I can understand, and it only more recently have I realised, I would have said, oh, I don't have any issues about that because I block it out. But yes, abandonment issue. All these really? Things are underlying. Where I thought I was fine, well, I am fine, but I didn't realise that actually unconsciously there were these, oh, I'm not worthy. I never thought that way consciously. Mm-hmm. And this is a reminder to everybody. It's not what you think. It's what's that underlying programming that has been going on for, well, however long you've been alive.
and I can assure you, this is so true, that what you think is the problem is never the problem. What you think is the problem is never that. It's never that the problem, because everything is so unconscious. Yeah,
so which makes it difficult, doesn't it? For people listening in, if they've never, you know, because we are conditioned, aren't we, that if something's not right on a physical level or on a mental level, then we go to the white coats and we get given a pill to sort this out. Right. We know that doesn't work. So if anybody is out there that is sort of, you know, how do they know, well, what is it that they need to solve?
Well, everybody's different, you know, everybody's unique. That's why everybody has a difficulty, because if one solution you know, sorted every solution, we wouldn't be having these talks, you know.
Be easy, so, wouldn't it? One piece of paper with a checklist. There you go.
Everybody's unique, but what I can do is I can give you a 7-step process that will actually get you out of that conflict. When you see it coming, I can give you a 7-step process, and I'll give you that now. Yeah. So when you are when you're triggered, you know, when you're in your conflict, whether it be you know, you're doing the same thing, or you're having an issue with someone else, because even when you're having an issue with someone else, or that mother-in-law, or whatever it is, you know, the sibling, or you're creating it. And I know it's hard for some people to take that, especially when they're used to being in victim and blame. But actually, and it's all unconscious. You don't know you're doing it. Yeah. So the step one is acknowledge that you're being triggered, you know, that you're in stress or you're in tension. And just acknowledge it. But you don't be mad at yourself. Don't be, you know, swearing at yourself and all that, like what I used to do. You know, just acknowledge it. You know, acknowledge the pain. You know, if you're in anger, or if you're in fear, or frustration, or sadness, just notice that's there, and name it. You know, acknowledge what it is and what it is, and change the definition. So, for instance, I'm raging. I'm sad, you know, I'm mad. Instead of saying I am, say I'm having an experience of being mad. I'm having an experience of anger. I'm having an experience of being fearful, you know. So that's your step two. And watch the difference when you take it from I am to I am having the experience of. You're taking the emotion.
That is so powerful.
Yes. You're taking that emotion out of it. You're taking that energy surge that's punching you. You're taking that out of it when you're saying, I'm having the experience of blah, blah, blah. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then step three is notice what you want to do to take that pain away. What action do you want to take? And usually it's either, you know, running away from it, or shutting down, or don't say anything, and it runs around in your head. They did this and that, and all that. You know, I've been there. You know, the negative Nora, as I call her. You know, when she
I do. We all do.
it runs, and sometimes you can be in it for weeks. That negative Nora, you know. Sometimes some people could be in there for months. Some people could even be in there for years. With something like that. But the step four is don't do the action that you would normally do to take the pain away. Just don't do it. Stop the action. And how I see that is, I actually, when I realize what's happening. I actually just see a red button in my head, and I just, it's like I stop the red button, you know, because I'm a visual person. So I just see the red button and say, right, I'm not doing that, you know, because it takes will. It really does take your will.
Well, and practice, isn't it? Yeah. You're not going to get it overnight. Yes, I can remember hearing Esther Hicks one day say, and I use the pause sign.
Yeah.
So, yeah, similar.
It's just the same thing.
Like, oh, yeah. We know we're going down this route. This isn't good. Yeah. We don't feel good because it doesn't feel good, does it? So, wow. Yeah, powerful. Yeah. Cool.
And then what to do, your step five is rise above it, you know, pull, as you say, pull back from it. And what I do here is I just see I go into my heart space and I see a baby, my innocence, you know, I just see my innocence and I just drop down into my heart space. So you're going into the higher self. And then what I do is once I've went in the higher self, I actually just see myself by a beach or something, you know, visualize, and I just draw a circle and I just say, well, how do I see it from the perspective of my higher self? So you're not in your ego, because when you're going through being triggered, you're going into your ego.
Always.
That's a step of getting out of the ego, so that you're really going into that the higher self, the true self, your soul, your spirit, whatever you want to call her, him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you rise above it, you remove yourself, you know, you pull back, go into the creator circle. And then step six is just, how do you see it from that perspective? And you'll see, is it a pattern, you know? Is it you trying to be rescued? Is it you not belonging somewhere? Is it you think you've got to be this way? You know, there's all different things will come up, you know. And then step seven is, what action do you take from the higher self, from this perspective? So it's not for anybody to fix you or you to fix anybody else. Or, you know, if you shut down, you speak up. If you run away, you walk forward, you know. So you're speaking your truth. You know, so that it's not. And then when you're speaking your truth and you're taking that action, what happens is this negative Nora stops. It's no longer there, because one, you're standing in your power, you're in your boundaries, and you're actually moving forward. So you're changing the structure.
Brilliant. And that's not going to work the first time you try that, right?
No.
It's
bringing it into your awareness. That's the big thing. And once you start bringing it into your awareness, what actually happens is because remember, most of it's unconscious, is what happens when you start keep bringing it into your awareness, what happens is the energy surge goes from it and it doesn't have the same effect as what it would normally. You don't stay in it as long. It's just, oh, right, I've got that. Here we go, right, okay, this is what I need to do here, yeah?
Right.
And it is as simple, we make it hard.
Oh, don't we ever, put my hands up to that, I'm the master of overcomplicating things.
Yeah. Me too, if there was a hard way to go, I'd go it, you know?
But even that, I do think it's just down to, we have been conditioned somehow to, it was almost like, I realise now, I mean, it wasn't consciously, but it was almost like, yeah, I'm so busy being busy. And it was almost like wearing a badge. Yeah. Yeah, I'm busy being busy, not very productive, and not, you know, not making the most out of my situation. But because of the conditioning, it's almost like, yes, I have to keep busy. I've got to have all these plates and, man, that's just such hard work. When you sort of, you know, and I'm working on it, I'm getting it. slowly, catchy monkey, but step back and realise it doesn't actually have to be that hard. And even those seven steps, to someone sitting out there, they might think, oh, that's a lot of work to do. It isn't. It's the inner work is the work.
Yeah.
We think it's our to-do list and we've got to do things, action. Whereas when you get into the habit of doing it that side and actually do the inner work,
yeah,
the actions seem to come a lot easier. They flow a lot easier.
Massively. But us as humans are lazy. Yeah, we're lazy, you know, and that's half the battle. That's half the issue as well, is we think that someone outside of us is going to give us the you know, that pill, we'll say, is going to give us that pill that's going to make everything go away and everything be good and give us that success or whatever it is that we're going after. But in fact, we are the creators, so we can create anything.
And I get it, because I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, if some people, if they're going through any kind of horrendous things, to say that to someone, it can be it can seem harsh to them if they've never heard of this before. Because to sort of say, "Oh, this is, I didn't create this, I wouldn't have attracted this," it's, none of this is deliberate. So anybody out there think, "Oh, I didn't create that," it's not a blame thing, and it's not that you're wrong or you've done anything wrong or you're bad and you've attracted. It's not that at all.
It's all unconscious.
All unconscious, and it's not a. It's just any kind of negative energy. It doesn't mean, we're not talking about you're a bad person, negative energy. It's fear, doubt, worry, stress because of the things that you've gone through. But I think what you've shared right there is massive. And to, you know, for people to realise that there is another way. And it's just that we haven't been taught it before.
Yeah, and I'll give you an example of that. When I was in my trainings, this is brilliant, by the way. I couldn't have got a better example. And there's this really lovely woman who stayed down in London, really quite a posh area she stayed in and all the rest. But everywhere she went, her neighbours would be volatile towards her, you know, to the point of smashing the windows in her car, you know, coming to her house, trying to get in her house, and being actually quite brutal, you know, and looking at this woman, you think, what the bloody hell's going on? Anyway, so what was really interesting was that what this woman was doing unconsciously, she didn't know she was doing it, was she was able to find the trigger in that person that would send them into a rage. She did this all unconsciously. She didn't even know she was doing it. To the point that she actually did it with the facilitator who was doing the program I was on. And he went mental, absolutely going mental, because she didn't even know she was doing it. Yeah. And the same woman then came into a group that I was, you know, with all these magicians and wizards and all the rest of it, and were creating massive things. And she came, got invited into the group, and the same thing happened. But this time she got kicked out the group. Absolutely kicked out the group, because she did the exact same thing, and she wasn't even aware of it. And what she was coming from was, I don't belong. She had a belief of, I don't belong. So what that belief was doing was making her find the trigger in someone for them to then have a reaction to then push her out to show her that she didn't belong.
Ah, wow. That is massive, because that is it, isn't it? It's like our, that sub, it's madness, really, when we look at it from that point of view, that it's almost like our unconscious.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want, I don't know, it might be called another part of it. It's like it wants to confirm that it's right. Mm-hmm. It's that I'm right. So, yes, I don't belong. So I'm going to prove that I don't belong. And I'm going to really wind this person up so they push me away, because then that will be proof that I don't belong. Yeah. I mean, that's, it's incredible. But, yes, again, being out of it, you could see why that program would, you know, again, she didn't want to, because she wanted to be wrong.
She was oblivious, absolutely oblivious of it all. Absolutely.
Wow.
And what got me was they were so unconscious that the guy was actually doing the trainings, you know, he actually was triggered. Right. He knew all this, and he didn't even realize that he'd been triggered by this.
Well, I suppose the same thing as we were saying earlier. We can see it in others, and then we're going to have the same reaction to certain things. Again, we've got to then become aware of it. I'll do it myself. I still do it myself.
That's why we need a coach.
That's why
we need a coach to show us our unconscious pattern, and getting an intuitive coach is so much better because they can actually see what's also observing the obvious. You know, they can see the obvious of what is actually going on because they're intuitive. You know, they see what's going on around it and what you need to do about it and where you need to go with it and all the rest of it. You know,
and that is, and all these skills are available to everyone. Nobody is. It's just that, I suppose, again, going back to conditioning, our programming, we've almost been taught to not trust our intuition. We've got to trust what's in this textbook, the facts that are written, the facts, the things we need to think about and remember, and not to trust that, whether you call it gut feeling or whatever. And what I love about speaking to people like you is that really I so believe things are on a change because people are realizing that actually your gut is right every single time and to trust it.
Totally. Because how many times do we not trust something and then something happens and I knew that was going to happen.
Yes, but again, that's the mind, because then we'll think about things logically and again think in ego mind and make a decision from that position where if we were to, I don't know where it's come from, learn to trust actually our inner knowledge, which knows all anyway, knows better than my inner knowing, knows a million times better than I do, or I think I do. But it is, it's like, I suppose, having that understanding that the mind, it's almost like the mind is it's the false self. It's the false person. The mind is not your true self.
No, not at all. And some people have not even connected. I mean, I went and did a talk at Edinburgh College a couple of weeks ago between the ages of 17, 50 odds, was in the class. There was about 30 people in the class. And basically, they didn't even know what the true self was. Didn't even know what the higher self was. You know, they didn't even know they had a soul, a spirit. You know, they just were oblivious, absolutely oblivious. So you can imagine, after I did an hour's talk with them, one girl actually came up to me and went, "I've learned more in this 1 hour about myself than 3 years at CBT." You know,
well, there you go. Again, I suppose it's too much mental and mind, body. What about the real inner? Your soul, your true self is you. And understanding that, yes, you are way more powerful than you think.
Massive.
And you're not broken. There's nothing broken. There's nothing wrong. And it can change like that, right? So I bet you've got some stories of instant transformations, because we think, and I know I'm guilty of this, because we need, I don't know, with everything we do, with whether it's fitness, losing weight, or business related, whatever. It's going to, some things are going to take time, because we live in a 3D. Certain things it's going to take time, but the transformations can actually be instant when we having that aha moment and we understand it on a real deep level, rather than we've been taught to, if we're gonna we're gonna learn this, or it's going to take time for me to remember this and I go over it, and that's not the knowing, is it? And it's that having that inner knowing, which I bet you could get out of people.
And it's not only that, it's when you have that inner know, when you have that knowledge, you have that power. You know, that knowledge is your power. That's where your power, that's when your magic starts to happen. That's when the transformation starts to happen, because your awareness of you, you know, when people get over that shock of, I created that? No way. No way did I create that. And I was like that myself, you know. I was like, no, I couldn't have created that. And then when you
actually why would I have done that? I didn't want that to happen. Then, why would I have done that myself? Well,
Then when you actually look at it, when it's coming from, when you know you're not aware of it at all, but when you know the patterns that it's coming from, that awareness then gives you that power, that knowledge, because then you set your boundaries. And so many people don't have their boundaries, you know. And that's where people lose their power, because they're not standing in those boundaries. And that's with their family, their partners, their work colleagues, or, you know, everybody they know. They don't stand in those boundaries. And when you see someone who's standing really powerfully in those boundaries, you really have a really big respect for that person, because you think, and you're not going to cross those boundaries. But if you come across someone whose boundaries are very lax and they're very, you know, you're not going to listen to that person. You know, those boundaries are skewed, you know, they're just not right, you know. And that's where your power comes from, is you standing in those boundaries and knowing that, no, this is where I'm coming from. This is where my heart is. This is where my higher self resides. It's not where my ego is coming from, where my role and what have you. And that's the difference, you know, because a lot of people are having their boundaries from the ego perspective and not from the higher self perspective.
Right, that makes a lot of sense, and that sounds like it really links up to what you said earlier about the, you know, when we do have these feelings of unworthy or wanting to belong, and then we don't realize we could be unconsciously pushing them away. That links back into the not setting your boundaries again because you want to belong. So that is the, so again, you're putting it out there, whereas standing in your power and setting your boundaries is, yes, it's it sounds sort of contradictive in a way until you get it. Because you think ego mind again, you think that to belong, you've got to do everything for all these people, and you don't set your boundaries. But yes, the opposite is true, right?
And that's where your power resides. That's where your magic is. You know, when you are coming from the soul, the spirit, the higher self, and what have you. You know, there's so many executives out there that really, you know, they're working hard, they're living life and all the rest of it, but they have this big gaping hole. You know, the emptiness of, you know, is this, why am I doing this? You know, they get to a certain level, and then it just hits you. You know, right, I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve. So why am I still feeling this way? Why is this feeling still here? It's what I was like, you know, when I had the business, exactly how I was, that I couldn't understand. So I've created this, you know, I've created this power, you know, of this bridal business. And I used to make outfits for celebrities and the gentry and travel the world with international designers. I would design for international designers. I mean, I really ate and breathed this. And so many people would say to me, you know, I would love your life. Your life would be amazing, you know. And don't get me wrong, some of it was. Yet I still had this big emptiness.
Right. And so how long did it take you to turn that around completely on its head?
I would say it took me a couple of years. It did take me a few years. But when I realized what that was, it didn't take long after all. You know, when I realized, oh, right, so there is an emptiness. It's because I'm not living my passion. Well, from Machu Picchu, it was 6 weeks that I closed everything down.
Right.
It totally closed everything down and come away with a five-figure sum in my hip pocket and what have you, you know. But really, everything was sold. Everything got
right.
So although it went near bankruptcy, you know, I did it very cleverly.
Right. So I suppose for some, that might not be an option to completely or no, okay, there you go, I put a judgment on it. The perception could be too much, so which means that the fear would come in too high.
Yeah.
Because actually things could change like that, but why put pressure on yourself? So you can
going to that level though. You can, you know, like me going to Machu Picchu, you know, I always did things by extreme anyway, you know, traveling the world and sitting there with shamans and rattling drums and, you know, and all the rest of it, and walking over firewalks and over glass and breaking arrows and, you know, and all the rest of it. However, if you're that executive, you know, that you're realizing that that's there, get yourself a really good coach, an intuitive coach.
And I think that's massive, because what I've said there is a contradiction, because if you're going to try it alone, the stress will be too much and it will take over because you've done things straight away. However, the quickest route to getting it is definitely to get a coach, because then you will be guided. Get Anne.
Why I'm saying a good one is I've had quite a few coaches and I was still stuck. Spent a lot of money, you know, and after thought, 6 months down the line, what was that all about, you know?
100%, because the title coach doesn't give you enough info. I've done the same. I've taken on coaches and I'm like, this wasn't really what I was looking for. I know what I need, but sometimes it's hard to find, which is why we're doing these shows, Anne, because like, what would you say is, what's the title that you would put on websites or whatever? What is your,
I would say that I help people become unstuck in their patterns.
Right.
You know, so they can live a life full of passion, purpose. So it's easy. Their life is easy. So I would say I'm more of an intuitive coach, although as you well know, I have an abundance of feathers that I get gifted from the spirit world on a daily basis.
I still believe you live next to an aviary.
We've got so many different kinds of feathers that come in. It's unbelievable. So I'm very connected spiritually, and I'm very connected intuitively. I'm a very good intuitive, you know. As I say, people think what they think is going on is never, never. It's always something completely different, and I'm very good at uncovering what it is with people, you know, what is the work.
I suppose if you don't know what it is, what the real, and I suppose that's the thing with any kind of holistic treatments for anything, is if you do not know the whole thing and you're going by that, you think that is causing that, well, nothing's going to change because that wasn't the root cause. So I suppose that is the hardest part, is working it out. And sometimes, you can't do it on your own. Yeah. You can't, or you might drive yourself mad first.
Yeah. But you'll never get it. You'll never get it because it's unconscious. So you'll never, ever get what it's actually, what's driving these behaviours or these patterns. So you'll never, ever get that yourself. That's why it's really important, and trust me, I mean, I've had quite a few coaches, but I've got a brilliant coach now. I mean, he's won quite a few awards, don't get me wrong, and I pay quite a bit of money for him, but worth his weight in gold.
There you go, there is a, you know, and I'm sure you wouldn't have heard his message when you were back doing what you're doing.
Probably not.
Because you weren't ready to hear that message. It was so far. Whereas that, you know, that's why I say there's a coach for everybody to meet them wherever they're at that time. Like, and I wouldn't have heard, we've had conversations before about, you know, and the DNA, the light. Yeah. I wouldn't have heard that like 20 years ago. I would have thought, this woman's crazy.
I am crazy. You're right.
Okay. That's why we connect. Because I came from such a, you know, everything was physical, you know, therapy, you know, sports therapy. Yeah. Oh, this is hurting because it doesn't hurt like that. And it's all very physical. And the understanding that the physical comes from the mental and the emotional and the spiritual is just, you know, we didn't talk about that. Even doing massages, you know, a lot of massage therapists would even have the understanding of grounding themselves so they don't take on people's energy. I didn't learn that. I was a sports therapist. Yeah. Like, what do you need to learn about things like that? It just was never discussed. So I would never have heard that message. I just would have thought, like you saying, you know, you had spiritual people in your as employees and you thought they're all nuts. I would have had the same.
we used to always laugh, you know. I would go to them, is there no right in the head, you know. But every single one of my employees, apart from one girl, were all very spiritual, you know. They were Reiki healers, they were, you know, they did light language. And I said, well, light language, what are you talking about, you know? And I'm not in my business now for about 13 years, so we're going back quite a bit, you know, from 9 years, sorry, not 13 years, it was 2013, I shot it down. But the thing is, looking back there, and actually one of them sent my message a few years ago and went, and it is so beautiful to see you actually living what you should have been living all those years ago, you know. And and I was doing the live on spiritual stuff and, you know, and all the rest of it. And I went, they'll see a big, huge difference because but it took a lot to get me to where I am now of being very open with it, because now I just don't, it doesn't bother me. It's who I am. It's what I am. I'm very connected. And I think that's why I get such powerful results.
Right. So because you've taken ownership, it seems to me, it's like, so we all, and you know, like you've just said there, is it's almost like you didn't want to put yourself out there again. We all, because we are human, you know, we have these human emotions, some serve us, some don't, of that fear of being judged. Like when I first started, because I had come from a very physical background, and I thought, well, people just know that I just teach fitness, or I'm just a personal trainer, I'm just a sports therapist. So if I'm going to put out something new, I would have this fear of being judged, fear of being ridiculed. And oh man, when you get over that and realize that, and you're not afraid of being judged, it's not my problem. People can judge, but it's not going to affect me. But it's fascinating that, so even with you going through all that, we still have these things that are holding us back because of these fears. And the moment you step over that line and get over the fact that, you know, some people won't be ready to hear you. Some people will judge you, but whatever, let them be. And it's okay.
Yes, that's
where your magic lies, because that's when things will happen, because it doesn't matter. It's fascinating to think that the only thing that is stopping us all are these fears, which aren't even real, or they're none of our business. And it's amazing that we have all, and I would, you know, we're all the same, we're all human, all these conditioning throughout our lives, whether it's come from school, it must have been just drip fed in the background for us to have these fears of stepping into the light. Well, we've been taught that, you know, that you're showing off, or quiet about that.
No, who do you think you are? Thing when all we should have been getting was, you know, an applause, you know, for doing good and for being better at another sibling or what have you, instead of, you know, you get yourself back down there, sort of thing, you know. So it's really interesting, because it goes with us most of our life, you know, when it's like that. And it's contradictory, you know, it is contradictory, because it's something you want to do, but the you just can't do because there's fears holding you back and there's judgment. So it's contradictory, because your patterns, it's just like the woman with the don't belong, you know. She was portraying behaviours that she was triggering people, so they would then be volatile. So she thought she didn't belong, and all the time she was trying to get people to get her do you know, to belong. It's a very contradictory.
It's amazing that, but then maybe, is that the journey? That the journey for us to, we've forgotten that that's what, you know, we can have, be, do whatever we want. And it's the journey of that inner realization that we actually can, and we are the only ones in our way, the only ones. We want to, I mean, of course, it would be easier to blame somebody else, but then that means that person's going to have to change for me to have my success. Then we don't have any control over it. Yeah. The realization of actually, I can change this. Wow. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Totally. I can give you tools how to.
There you go. So, yeah, we all want the pill. So Anne has actually got the pill.
I can give you the tool. Because a lot of people, they know this, but they don't have the tools to actually show you how to work with it.
Right. That's the difference. So I suppose, yes, step one is being aware.
Yeah.
But then now we need to know, okay, so what do we need to do every single day? Because, yes, it's going to take practice. Yeah. Which some people think, oh, it's a lot of work. Well, the time's going to go anyway. The day's going to pass anyway. So you may as well work it to your advantage for the long term. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just acknowledge that you've been triggered. That's the process. Step one, acknowledge you've been triggered. Two is identify the pain. Three, notice what you want to do when you feel that pain. Four is do not do it.
Don't do it. That's not going to be the hard thing, I reckon, for a lot of people.
Stop the action that you would normally do. Withdraw from it. Five, rise above it, go into the higher self and just really see from that perspective, you know, what is it that you're doing? You know, is that a pattern? Are you trying to get rescued? You know, because a lot of people have that. They don't realize that they're trying to get help to get rescued. You know, so, and number seven is, what is the true action? From the higher, what is the true action you take? So, for instance, if it was a woman that was I don't belong, and a lot of people have that one, especially healers, believe it or not, is the action you would take instead of trying to trigger the unconscious, is what you would do is you would actually take action and open your heart so that you actually feel safe and feel you do belong.
Love that. So really, it is all within you.
Yes.
We're always looking for validation, everything out there. So it's from all of that, I'm getting that. Yes, it's that. You don't need it from out there. You've got it. You've got everything.
Everybody's got their magic.
Right here. So for those who are listening, so obviously we'll have, well, if you're watching, you can see Anne's website there, but those who are just listening and it's just audio, how do people find you, Anne?
Just simpleannevarney.com, AnnVarney.com. That's it.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Yeah, AnnVarney.com. And you'll see there's a wealth of stuff on my website. Information that would help you, you know, around your energy and things like that. Courses, memberships, podcasts, you know, so that it's all in, everything's there.
So anyway, there's something for everybody. You know, podcasts are free.
Yes.
You listen, you take your time to listen. So Anne's giving out all her knowledge. There's things that you can learn. And then if you want to take it a stage further, then yes, join the membership, which I will be doing. Personally, once we get this week out of the way, you know, Anne, I'm coming for you. And then courses. Also, you run courses for other practitioners as well, don't you, Anne?
Yes. So my Spiritual Abundance Creator is my big course that I do, and that's real woo woo, but it's
we love a bit of woo woo.
we're really going into activating the starseed memories and your gifts, and we're going into the Akashic records. We activate the 12 DNA light bodies, and it's just magical, the power that people get from it. And it's a 4-week program, that one, or a work one-to-one with people, executives or just anybody really, you know. Yeah, I have two.
Well, there you go. So you're offering, yeah, there's something there for absolutely, yeah, everyone. You either spend your time or, yeah, you spend your money or some kind of combination of both, yeah, right? But there is help out there. Don't suffer. There's unnecessary suffering. So thank you, Anne. Once again, I could sit here and talk to you for hours. Yes, thank likewise. You for your time today. For the rest of you, I will be back with a Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.